Yesterday we spoke at some length of samadhi, that condition of no eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, or mind. Our own experience around here is usually that it happens in zazen, usually a session. But as we saw with the astronaut, it can happen in other ways. Here's another example of enlightenment coming out of a samadhi. Case number 23 in the Wumen Guan. Wei Ning's neither good nor evil. The case reads, the sixth ancestor was pursued by Wei Ming, the head monk, to Taiyu Peak. The ancestor, seeing Wei Ming coming, laid the robe and the bowl on a rock and said, this robe and bowl represents the Dharma. Are they to be fought for? You may take them back with you. Wei Ming tried to lift them, but they were as immovable as a mountain. Shivering and trembling, he hesitated and said, I came for the Dharma, not for the robe. I beg you, lay brother, please open the way for me. The teacher said, don't think good, don't think evil. At this very moment, what is the original face of monk Wei Ming, the head monk? In that instant, Wei Ming had a great satori. Sweat ran from his entire body. In tears, he made obeisance and asked, besides the secret words and secret meanings, is there anything else deeper still? The teacher said, what I have conveyed to you is not secret. If you reflect on your own face, whatever is secret will be right there with you. Wei Ming said, when I practiced at Hong Ren with the assembly, I could not truly realize my original face. Now, thanks to your instruction, which is to the point, I am like one who drinks water and knows personally whether it is cold or warm. Lay brother, you are now my teacher. The teacher said, we both have Hong Ren for our teacher. Hold fast to what you have learned from him. And woman's commentary. It must be said that the sixth ancestor forgets himself completely in taking action here. He is like a kindly grandmother who peels a fresh lychee, removes the seed, and puts it into your mouth so you need only swallow it. Woman's verse. It can't be described. It can't be pictured. You can never praise it fully. Stop groping for it. The original face has nowhere to hide. When the world is destroyed, it is not destroyed. The story of Wei Nung, whose dates are 638 to 713 in the Common Era, the sixth Chinese ancestor. It's one of the great legends of Zen tradition. As with all myths, whether it is historically true or not is irrelevant. And most likely, the biography of Wei Nung this story comes from was constructed later by his successors. What we're concerned with here is its relation to the koan at hand. A young man, illiterate, scrapes out a living as a woodcutter in order to take care of his widowed mother. One day, he hears a monk reciting the Diamond Sutra, and at the phrase, rouse the mind without it abiding anywhere, he comes to a shattering awakening. There are perhaps a dozen or so instances in the entire history of Buddhism in which someone comes to a deep awakening out of the blue. No zazen, no instruction. Something just happens and bam. There are a certain few who are just natural geniuses in the spiritual realm, just as in the realms of science or art. It's all a matter of deep karma. The young man asks the monk who his teacher is and where is he to be found. The monk directs him to the monastery of Hung Ren, the fifth ancestor. And he travels to the monastery of Hung Ren in Wang Mei province. And after a spirited exchange, Hung Ren recognizes Wei Nung's enormous potential, but exiles him to the rice pounding room. This is something of a political move. Hung Ren immediately sees Wei Nung as his Dharma successor. But to confer the robe and bowl of the Buddha upon a complete newcomer is to invite anger, dissent, and a loss of harmony in the Sangha. So he waits a while, some 8 months. And then he sets up a contest. He announces that his successor will be chosen on the basis of who can write a verse that best expresses realization of the Dharma. Hung Ren is facing a very painful decision. On the one hand, he has one, maybe even two or three monks who have been with him for many years. Monks who have worked hard and faithfully. And yet he has doubts about their insight or their fitness to succeed him. On the other hand, there is a youngster who is obviously one of those rare spiritual geniuses who come along once in many lifetimes. There's no real question here, but maybe Hung Ren wants to give everybody a last fair shot, just to be sure. None of the monks is willing to take up the challenge. They all look to Shen Xu, a leader of the assembly and one of the most senior monks. But deep in his heart, Shen Xu is unsure. And who can blame him? How many are willing to stand up and fearlessly express an understanding of the Dharma in front of a large assembly with so much at stake? So late in the night, Shen Xu writes a verse and pins it up on a wall anonymously. It's the safe route to take. If it's acceptable, he can step forward and take credit. If not, then just keep your mouth shut. His verse reads, "The body is the Bodhi tree. The mind is like a clear mirror. Moment by moment, wipe the mirror carefully. Let there be no dust upon it." The next morning, all the monks see this verse and are mightily impressed. But Hung Ren recognizes the work of Shen Xu. Not bad. It defines our practice step by step. How often do I say boneheaded persistence? Just keep at it. But it doesn't go all the way. If that were all there was to practice and realization, I could not sit here and encourage everyone to stay with it. Nevertheless, Hung Ren recommends that everybody commit it to memory. Wei Nung, the kid, hears a monk reciting this verse and immediately sees its limitations. So he asks the monk to write another verse for him. And he dictates, "Bodhi really has no tree. The mirror has no stand. From the beginning, there's nothing at all. Where can any dust alight?" You see what's what here. Wu Men's verse to case number 48 in the Wu Men Guan reads in part, "Though your every step is ahead of the last, you must remember the vast, all-encompassing crater." Shen Xu's verse is the first line. Wei Nung's is the second line. Chen Xu expresses, every step is ahead of the last. Every moment, polish the mirror. Every step, every breath, every move, ahead of the last. That is our practice. Moment by moment by moment. Sinking deeper and deeper. But this does not reach the vast, all-encompassing crater. At some point, each one of us has to take the leap into that bottomless crater, into the abyss of our true nature. It's just a question of when. Some do it sooner than others. Wei Nung has taken that leap. Shen Xu has yet to. All the monks crowd around Wei Nung's verse, wondering who wrote it. Hong Ren recognizes the work of his young novice and knows for sure that here is his successor. But he tears it up and pronounces it worthless. That night, Hong Ren meets Wei Nung in secret. And after further instruction that completely clears the mind of Wei Nung, the ancestor rows him across the river and tells him to remain hidden for at least 10 years and continue working to perfect his understanding. This is the very stuff of legend, the secret journey, the flight into Egypt. The hero remains hidden for a long time before re-entering the world to astound the people. The next day, Hong Ren announces that the robe and bowl have gone. It's quickly discovered that the young rice pounder has disappeared, and there is great consternation. Enter the head monk, Wei Ming. He was a former general who had retired to the monastery of the fifth ancestor. Now, in ancient China, a general was not always just an officer of the military. He could well be the military governor of a prefecture and have the power of life and death over everyone who lived there. So here we have a man, well into middle age, who is used to being an absolute ruler. Yet he gives it all up to become a novice monk at Hong Ren's place, to live in the dormitory, work in the fields, to bow and serve as probably the oldest novice in the monastery. Talk about getting busted to the ranks. To do that and to stick with it had to take enormous courage and perseverance. And over the years, he did pretty much what he did in the army. He worked his way up through the ranks, step by step by step, to the exalted position of head monk. Step by step, his practice and his life are exactly what Shen Xu has written. He can conceive of no other way. Now, the robe and bowl has been passed on to an illiterate peasant. He's a kid. He's only been there a few months. What an outrage. It was wrong. And as a former soldier, Wei Ming's immediate reaction is to take action. Go after it. You could say that this was the world's first and longest Doksan rush. That's not entirely facetious. We don't do Doksan Rush anymore at this center, even during Sesshin. It's mainly a safety issue. But in a way, it's too bad. After days of hard zazen when the bell rings, people just fly off the mats. Not a single thought arises, just zoom. Body and mind dropped away. Nothing but the running. What better prelude to Doksan? If you've ever been on a long hike, one that lasts several days and goes over one or two 11,000 foot passes. There comes a point in your walking where the world begins to disappear. The mountains fade away. The sky fades away. The very path fades away. Whatever your goal or your purpose was, it's been forgotten. There's only the next step. The next ragged breath. This moment. A step by step falling away of body and mind. Sesshin can be the same. Exhaustion sets in. But it is only the separate, limited ego self that can become exhausted. And as the energy of that self wanes, the energy of practice, joriki, increases accordingly. Wei Nung has had a head start of many hours. Wei Ming has to catch up, so he forges ahead, outdistancing all the other monks, step by step by step by step to the point of exhaustion and beyond. Step by step, body and mind falling away. He arrives at Wei Ning's hiding place. He sees the robe and the bowl sitting there on a rock. He stares at them stupidly. He has forgotten what he came for. He has forgotten everything. Wei Nung calls out, "This robe and bowl represents the Dharma. Are they to be fought for? You may take them back with you. But they are immovable." Wei Ming is immovable. The universe is immovable. Everything has come to a halt. When Wei Ming set out, the robe and bowl meant everything. They were enlightenment itself. At this moment, they have lost all meaning. The universe has lost all meaning. Wei Ming has lost all meaning. And it is from the depths of that loss that he cries out, "I came for the Dharma, not for the robe. I beg you, lay brother, please open the way for me." Wei Ming has come a very long way, and not just in miles. Step by step is ended. Now there is only the vast crater, the very edge of the abyss. And with the unerring instinct of a born teacher, Wei Nung pushes him off. "Don't think good, don't think evil. At this moment, what is the original face of Monk Wei Ming, the head monk?" At this moment, at this very moment, what is your original face? Wei Ming has a great satori. The great leap can happen at any moment. We never know. As for his reaction, sweating, trembling, tears, that's Wei Ming. We have to read these accounts of awakening with no expectations about what it should be like. Each of us has our own lives, our own practice. Kensho, Satori, whatever you call it, will affect each of us differently. Dogen says that one may not even notice that one has become a Buddha. Overwhelmed with gratitude, Wei Ming can only ask if there is something further, anything deeper still. And Wei Nung completes the job. There are no secrets. Whenever you reflect on your own face, whenever you do zazen, whenever you are truly aware under any circumstances, the secret will be right there with you. Dogen's friend, the Tenzo, said, "Nothing in the universe is hidden." How wonderful. Wu Min's commentary. It must be said that the sixth ancestor forgets himself completely in taking action here. He is like a kindly grandmother who peels a fresh lychee, removes the seed, and puts it into your mouth so you need only swallow. But the term grandmotherly kindness is not a compliment. It implies too much kindness. But with Wu Men, you never know. Perhaps he is once again engaging in the Chinese habit of a backhanded compliment. The job of the teacher is to meet the student, wherever that might be, whether it be with a lychee or a blow. If the student is genuinely ready, it's easy. The actual words are almost irrelevant. If not, then it's impossible. The teacher, no matter how skilled, is only the midwife. Wu Min's verse. It can't be described. It can't be pictured. You can never praise it fully. Stop groping for it. The original face has nowhere to hide. When the world is destroyed, it is not destroyed. Yeah, stop groping. The original face has nowhere to hide. But with respect to that last line, please be careful. It's very easy to fall into the trap of constructing something that somehow continues. In case 29 in the Blue Cliff Record, a monk asked Da Sui, when the conflagration at the end of the kalpa sweeps through and the great cosmos is destroyed, I wonder, is this one destroyed or not? And Da Sui said, "It will be destroyed." The monk said, "Will it be gone with everything else?" Da Sui said, "It will be gone with everything else." It is not destroyed. It will be gone with everything else. Which is correct? To say that it is destroyed is to assign it the characteristic of being destroyed. To say that it is not destroyed is to assign to it the characteristic of not being destroyed. Both miss it. This is where we have to go with our practice. Don't think destroyed. Don't think not destroyed. Don't think everything. Don't think nothing. Don't think here. Don't think there. Don't think good. Don't think evil. At this very moment, what is the original face? Together with all beings, we realize the way.